The sound of Critical Mass, recorded last Friday. Familiar sound to anybody who cycles in London. This is The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and today we've got a pretty full show, taking on the theme of Critical Mass, talking about cycle policy, cycle activism, and cycle training. We've got Ben Boskill from Cycle Training UK talking about getting people out onto their bikes and helping them feel confident on the road. We're going to be testing some bicycle bells. Everyone who goes on Critical Mass or cycles in London needs a bell. In fact, I think it's the law that you have to have a bell on a new bike these days. But first, it was a great pleasure for me to cycle with Rose Adez, who's the head of cycling for Transport for London, from her house in Bermondsey into her office in London. And we talked about all kinds of things. She pointed out various bits along the way.
We're going to ride to Victoria. And in fact, this is the only moment that we're by the river and in somewhere really nice. But we'll see a lot of nice things, good bits of London, even though it's an ordinary commuter ride from home to Victoria.
Great. And so the route's going to take us along Jamaica Road?
Oh, no.
No?
Not along Jamaica Road at all. We'll keep out of the traffic mostly. We'll go over Lambeth Bridge.
How are we going to navigate Waterloo?
We're not going that way.
All right.
It's more direct to avoid it.
Fantastic. Well, I'm in your hands. Lead on.
Great.
How long have you been cycling in London?
Since I moved here in the early 70s. And I cycled from time to time then, really, when it suited me.
What was it like being a cyclist in the early 70s in London? Who else was on the roads?
Well, it didn't really occur to me that there weren't many cyclists, and I'd ridden a bike at university. So I think, and at that time, and I wasn't directly involved in anything to do with cycling, I was a member occasionally of the London Cycling Campaign, but I wasn't thinking about it as an issue. But it seems that the only people who were cycling then were old men who had been used to cycling to work from, you know, the docks and factories, and Oxford and Cambridge graduates. So it was a very, you know, the great middle ground wasn't there. And one of the things that's really exciting about what's happening now is that all sorts of people are cycling. We're now in the heart of Bermondsey. We've just crossed the congestion charging zone, and you'll see that straight away there's much less traffic. And I think it's got a lot to do with what we've been doing, that there have been quite a lot of improvements on the street. There's a lot more cycle parking as well, and just the publicity and the London Cycle Guides, these maps that you can get from Transport for London, which show lots of backstreet routes like this that people don't know about. And that's made a lot of difference, that, you know, because I think lots of people are daunted and frightened by the traffic, but you can get around more or less everywhere without being in the traffic much. One of the things I really like about being out on a bike going anyway, but going to work, is that you get a chance to see other people, and it's a sort of human scale. It's very sort of friendly and easy. And I mean, the one day going to work, I was, you know, I saw a friend going by, then I waved at the milkman, and it went on like that. That everywhere I went, it was great. Just sort of sets you up for the day. So it's not just about being healthy; it's relating to your environment and the people around you.
Interesting. You're not in your box as a car driver. Sealed off from the world. Yeah, and there's so much, I'm always amazed about how much communication happens when you're riding a bike, how much eye contact you make with people, because that's the way to get people to notice you, is to look in their eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM, riding with Rose Adez, head of Transport for London's cycling unit and therefore chief advisor to Ken Livingstone and London Government on cycling. Now, we've just witnessed a little Vespa going through a cyclist's only gate. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I was going to stop there anyway. This cut through and having the gate then stops general traffic going through, and it's made that much better, and it's part of the cycle network. In terms of Vespas and motorbikes using it, it's much better that the gap is wide enough for cyclists to use it easily and people with trikes and everything like that. You know, the downside is motorcyclists use it, but they go pretty slowly and there's not...
They have to go. It's kind of like a chicane, isn't it? They have to make a left and then a right. It's not as if they can whiz through there. So a bit of live and let live, really.
Oh, absolutely. And I think really, safety, and that's what matters, is feeling safe as well as being safe, just depends on interacting with other people. That's what you've got to do all the time, rather than while you're riding along focusing on the rules. I think it's a lot about you knowing what other people are going to do and letting them know what you're going to do, and that's how it works. I was in Cairo recently, and crossing roads in Cairo is a very interesting activity. And what I realized is what you need to do is just keep going, and you walk across and you keep going at the same speed, and they go around you. Because if you stop, they're not expecting you to stop.
It creates hesitation and uncertainty about what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and then it's really scary. I did always try and attach myself to somebody else and go with them. And in a way, that's the same with cycling. One of the reasons that there's less of a problem in terms of safety in Holland is it really is safety in numbers, and that makes a difference. And we're getting to that in some parts of London, which is fantastic.
Well, we have completely circumvented the need to go round the cycling hell that is Waterloo, which is a nifty bit of navigation there. Completely bypassed it. Excellent.
And gone in a straight line as well. Just come through one of my favourite little cycle facilities, because it avoids the lights and you just roll straight through. I can't remember.
We're on Lambeth Road.
Yeah, and this kind of facility is new, and it wasn't done before, and it's one of the things that we're trying to introduce, just to make it easier to cycle, just open up access, and if it's not necessary to stop at lights, it doesn't cause any safety problems or trouble for pedestrians, to just indicate that you can roll through.
Yeah, and we've got a little bit of segregation here at this traffic lights built up on the side. I mean, I think this is something that a lot of people looking at London's green cycle lanes feel that they're not quite up to the standard of those in Holland and other parts of Northern Europe, because certainly in terms of the green cycle lanes and advanced stop areas, they don't seem to make much difference to the experience. You're cycling on something green, but you're just as likely to have a car parked in it, or somebody revving their engine at a traffic light.
That's right. But ultimately, as I said, you have to live with other traffic. And everywhere that you've got a physically separated bit of space, then you are actually in a confined space, and it may well make it more difficult for you to take avoiding action.
Right, yeah.
So what we're doing, there isn't a right or wrong. There are a range of ways of making it better, and it's just really important to get what is going to make it sort of fast, safe and comfortable in that location. So there isn't any one answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really also, it's about not only how it affects how the cyclist feels about it, it's how it affects how drivers view cyclists and how drivers behave towards them. So it's like a sort of little ecosystem, and that you change one thing and then look at how that affects the other things, because they're all very closely interrelated. The package of measures that TfL has put together and that we will implement with the boroughs isn't just a nice idea. It's going to work. And we know it's going to work because we've got a solid understanding of what works and what doesn't work. And we're not dependent on individual politicians being cyclists or liking cycling, because we've got a very solid basis, and there's a commitment from the mayor that we need to achieve an 80% increase in cycling.
Over what time period?
By 2010. And we've worked that out on the basis of looking at what other cities who've achieved increases, like particularly Vienna, because they were levels of cycling before they started a programme of action were roughly the same as they are in London. And they've gone from 2% to 5% as a result of what they've done.
Well, I was riding there with Rose Adez, who is head of Transport for London Cycling Unit. And one of the things that she mentioned was the importance of cycle training in terms of getting people who aren't currently riding their bikes to think about getting on their bikes and using it for leisure or for getting to work in and around London. Ben Boskill is from Cycle Training UK, who are the biggest provider of cycle training in London. And we went for a roll around the streets of central London, and he told me a little bit more about their work.
We're the biggest provider of on-road cycle training and maintenance training in London.
And what do people come to you looking for?
Basically, people come to us looking, if they're a complete beginner, we can teach them how to ride from very basics. Or if they're a more advanced cyclist, then they can come along and learn how to feel more confident on the roads and how to cycle more assertively.
And what are the lessons like?
The lessons are great. I mean, for a complete beginner, I'd suggest a starter of an hour and a half. And within that time, you should be able to get up and riding on your own without help. For a more advanced person, the lessons are 2 hours and cover things such as the controlling your skills of your bike and moving on to more complicated situations such as junctions, multi-lane filtering and roundabouts.
And the lessons are conducted one-to-one, is that right?
They are one-to-one, yeah. And the instructor will come to your home, so you get trained on the roads which are local to your house. So, you know, you could even have journeys, say you do a particular journey from home to work, an instructor could come and accompany you and teach you maybe a better route to go.
And you teach a kind of approach that you call assertive cycling. What are some examples of assertive cycling?
Assertive cycling is really just respecting your own safety and taking enough room on the road that you require to operate your bike safely. Some examples would be where there's a road narrowing, for example, where there's not enough room for a car and you to safely pass through the gap. I'd say that you should take the lane, which means moving out a bit further into the road and cycling through.
And keeping out of the gutter?
Oh yeah, certainly keeping out of the gutter. I mean, not only is there lots of broken glass, potholes, you're closer to pedestrians, and you are part of the traffic, you're part of the stream of traffic, so don't be afraid to be in the traffic.
Well, we're going to go off for a ride around and pick up a couple of interesting points. Let's go. Well, we're in Trafalgar Square now, and I wanted to share with Ben one of the things that I think is really good, which is this feeder lane that takes you off Trafalgar Square and up the Strand, and it's only for bikes and buses, because a few years ago, before they blocked off the top end of the north end of Trafalgar Square, you had to go all the way around with loads of traffic, about three lanes of traffic, and into a bus station and then back down before you could actually get onto the Strand. But can you see where I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it does look quite good, because we're here, there's two or three lanes of traffic, but it does seem to be the buses and cyclists are filtering off and going down the Strand, and all the other motorists and road users are heading off round to the left.
It seems like the philosophy of the way you teach cycling is, and road use, is to be in the traffic, making your presence felt and being assertive and taking up some road. How does that fit with all the people who say we need more cycle lanes, we need more segregation?
Well, it should fit very well, because obviously both of the things are going to promote cycling. However, obviously you're not going to be able to put a cycle lane in everywhere you want to go from A to B, and therefore at some point you're going to have to learn how to use a public road and you're going to have to feel confident among the traffic. I mean, I think that really we're all just road users, you know, drivers, bus drivers, taxi drivers, cyclists, and there's a place for all of us on the public highway.
And how do you teach people who are just starting out things like being able to give good hand signals and be able to look over their shoulder confidently? Because looking over both shoulders is, I think, being able to do that is pretty critical to riding safely. But it's an acquired skill, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what we would do, depending on your level, obviously I said this wasn't a lesson today, but we work through a nationally agreed syllabus, which is called the National Standard for Cycle Training. And it starts off, first of all, assessing your road skills in an off-road or quiet road area. But that checks things like whether you can brake, stop quickly, swerve. But also we do exercises to help you look over both shoulders to cycle confidently one-handed, practice signalling and looking for a long time over your shoulder. We have about 50 freelance instructors, and everybody in the office is also a trained instructor. Since April 2002, we've taught 4,412 individual sessions.
So if people want to take a lesson with you, what do they do?
Well, they'd phone us at our office, or they can look on the website.
What's the website?
The website is www.cycletraining.co.uk, or they can phone us on 020 7582 3535. And what would happen is, over the phone, we would talk a bit about your cycling history, what aims you'd like to get from the lesson, and then we'd take it from there.
And how much does it cost?
Depending where you live, if you're going to fund it privately, it costs £27.50 per hour, but quite a lot of the London boroughs do actually subsidise training, so do phone to check whether you live in one of those boroughs.
Which are the boroughs to live in that you can get free training?
At the moment, I think it's Southwark, Ealing, Redbridge, Haringey, and very soon we'll have more training in Lambeth too. So look at, certainly after March, I'd check back with us.
We've been out on the road for a little bit less than half an hour. What's the verdict on my cycling skills? And when do I need to put myself in for a lesson to prove the way I ride on the road?
Well, I think certainly you should have a lesson. I think it's an enjoyable experience and there's a lot to learn. But with regards to your cycling skills, yeah, I think they're pretty good. I think today probably you learnt to cycle more out in the lane and to be a bit more assertive. And really, it's nothing scary. You know, it feels quite normal and natural to do so.
Well, that was Ben Boskill from Cycle Training UK with me, giving a reasonably clean bill of health, I think, to my road use. As I said at the beginning of the show, I was out on the Critical Mass ride on Friday, and I ran into Resonance FM broadcaster Venus Kamura, who explained to me about an event she's organising in a couple of weeks' time.
What is love?
On the 12th of February, a lot of lovely people are going to be meeting on their bicycles to cycle around, to demonstrate, not to demonstrate that we're against anything, but to demonstrate about how amazing we are when we all get together and we're one. Because actually, oil, which is normally what people demonstrate against, is exactly what we are. O-I-L. One in love. And on February the 12th, it would have been February the 14th, but that's not a Saturday. On February the 12th, we're all cycling around to celebrate our oneness, which is a really good thing to do, because if we all come out and just moan all the time about we're anti-this, we're anti-that, and talk about all the things that divide us as humans, then who's going to give any space and time to all the things that unite us as humans? And the one thing that unites all humans, the one thing that every human in the whole world can do, is love. Okay, we can all breathe. But really, so we're meeting at 1 o'clock on the South Bank, the National Film Theatre South Bank, under Waterloo Bridge at 1 o'clock, and we're going to cycle around. There's going to be so many exciting surprises. There's going to be a samba band. There's going to be a bicycle and love power sound system. There's going to be a teddy bear amnesty, so we bring all the teddy bears that normally get made by small children in sweatshops in China to show people that they love them on Valentine's. Well, they're going to be given to the children's hospital instead. What else? It's going to be a big love-in in central London somewhere, secret place. And it's going to be a lot of really happy people celebrating the fact that we're all really wonderful. And, you know, even George Bush can love, and even Tony Blair can love, and actually everyone and every living thing can love, and it's really important that we all come together and just send all that love out to the whole wide world at this time in the world.
Well, you can join Venus at the Operation Infinite Love bicycle ride and love-in at a secret location on the 12th of February, meeting at 1 p.m. on the South Bank in Waterloo and riding on from there. Well, if you're going to go, you should take a bell and put it on your bicycle. Not only is it the law that all new bikes sold should have a bell, but having a bell on your bike turns your bike into a musical instrument. And we've got a bunch of bells and a bunch of folks in the studio to give them a listen and give them a bit of a review. Richard, talk me through the bell that you've got there.
All right, I've got a rather large bell made in China, Shanghai to be precise. It's called a B, I think. I can't tell because the price tag is in the way. It's a revolving bell.
Well, give it a toot.
Okay, here we go.
So that's kind of chirpy, kind of resonant, actually.
Yeah, it's quite a pleasing chime.
Chris,
I've got a blue child's bell, and it's blue with a kind of pink
Well, it's got a nice sort of smiley face, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's got a house generation. Yeah, it's got a rainbow smiley face.
And how much is that one?
This is $225, and it goes like this. It's quite high.
I think that's a good ring for $225. That's good value.
Mine was $499, but it's quite a cumbersome beast, so I think every penny well spent there.
Next up,
I've got a cycle bell from Shanghai Bicycle Company, £2.75. Classic standard bell, I think. Very nice.
Hello. I have a black deluxe Savage bell for $2.99. Very shiny, very pert. And this is how it rings. Sprightly.
Well, that's, I mean, because it looks kind of like a kind of sinister bell, but it has a sort of friendly, cheerful sound.
It has a sprightly
ding. A sprightly ding.
Yes.
Thanks, Bridget.
Pleasure.
And I think I've probably got the simplest of them all. This is an own brand bell, and it's called a Ping Blue.
I think, yeah, those are that's what I have on my bike. But I'm thinking of trading up to this one, which is I think it looks like it's got to be Chinese made. It's so solid, and it's called the Ding Dong. And let me give it a go. Ooh. Says exactly what it does on the tin. Shall we
ensemble
performance?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Je m'en allais chercher des oies du côté de fouiller les oies à bicyclette. Soudain qui vois-je devant moi une belle fille au fréminois à bicyclette. En arrivant à sa hauteur, j'y fais un sourire enchanteur à bicyclette. Elle rit aussi, on parle alors, et elle me dit dans nos transports à bicyclette.
Well, those bells were provided by the London Bicycle Repair Shop on Hatfields, just off the cut in Waterloo. They're fantastic at sorting out your bikes. Usually you can get them in and dealt with within the day, bring them in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon. This is the last bike show for a few weeks. We'll be back in 6 weeks' time. In the meantime, you can tune into Shadow Walking with Viv Corringham. And next up is Bridget with some dead animals on the table down there. That's rather scary. Well, that's enough for me. Back to Bouville.
Près d'un tournant, il y avait un bois où l'on se dirige à ma foi à bicyclette. Mais comme elle roulait près de moi, voilà qu'elle me fait presque à mi-voix à bicyclette. À ce que vous êtes coureur, moi je ne suis pas coureur. À ce que vous êtes menteur, moi je suis balayeur. Vous savez faire la cour? Oui que j'y réponds, car pour de ce qui est faire la cour, je la fais chaque jour. La cour, et qui me dit, la cour de la ferme, pardi.